We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday. Lots to get to in the final hour. We'll get back into what's trending in just a couple minutes. And again, stuff going down while the show's been happening today. I mean, kind of breaking news. Nothing super big locally. The Braves made a small move. Not a major move. Tuki Toussaint, gone, but not forgotten. We'll get to Joe Patrick Braves conversation coming up in about 25 minutes from right now, 1:20. Smoke and Joe going to join us. Is the Braves? Do you realize the Braves have 12 games left in the season?
Yeah, I just noticed games. That this morning. I noticed that this morning. I was like, damn, it's almost time. And that's why. And we talked about in the last hour. They're going to do this playoff bubble, I guess, whatever. Mm-hmm. Sooner rather than later. But, yeah, I mean, this is crazy. I was thinking, this, and I wanted to ask you this, get your opinion on it. What's your thoughts on the Big Ten? Do you think it comes back?
I do. Yeah, I think they will. I think whether it's come to their senses or what, I think that there's just so much pressure from so many different places right now, not just the players and the coaches, but, you know, money. They're just losing out on so much money by not playing. Yeah. And we said this as soon as they made the decision not to play. If the SEC, the ACC, the Big 12, the Sun Belt, if these schools are all finding a way to do it, and it seems like, and I know that schools are dealing with positive tests. I know that. But teams have played. We watched Georgia Tech and Florida State play on Saturday.
We did.
They're going to play more games this weekend. If teams are playing and they're not, and they can't show us, and they were unwilling to show us what their medical findings were, and these other schools are finding a way to get it done, I mean, it was going to be very embarrassing for them. So, yeah, I think that they're seeing all of that now. I think they're seeing all the pressure. I think they should have waited in the first place, like the SEC did.
A lot of us should have. A lot of us thought they should have waited.
I think they'll play. I think they'll play.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm thinking that it seems like it's getting overwhelmingly signs that they will play. So might as well go play. And it's funny because we talk about Michael Porter Jr. Everybody loves Michael Porter, but, you know, I didn't say it a lot. I don't know why it was just so funny to me.
I don't know.
It seemed like he's a good kid, but I don't know why. Me saying that he looks like he wears scented lotion. I don't know why that was funny, because I was like, I just put my lotion on. And it's not, you know, I wear Kales and it has a distinctive smell. But I wasn't talking about that. I'm talking about, like, he seemed like he wears raspberry kiwi lotion.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. Like body butter, yeah. Something like
yeah,
that.
Like that stuff like that.
Like you get from Sephora or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, like he go up in Sephora.
And I don't love Michael Porter Jr. And it's probably not going to come as any surprise to anybody as to why. He's committed to play college basketball at the University of Washington. His dad got a job. They hired his dad as an assistant coach at the University of Washington. To get him. and then the school fired the coach that was there before. And obviously his dad was fired with the staff. And I don't really blame him, because his dad got fired. Obviously, he's going to go someplace else. But the way that all of it went down, it was just so gross. Like, they hired his dad to be an assistant coach, and they put another alumni of the school to be a head coach of a high school in the area. And then Michael Porter and his brother went and played for that high school. And then they got a bunch of other really good kids from the area to play for that high school. And they went like 35-0 and won the state championship. That high school, mind you, never good at basketball before or after that. Yeah, Brandon Roy. Brandon Roy was the coach. Remember Brandon Roy from the Blazers back in the day? Yeah, it was all very like weird and kind of shady. But again, I know why they did it. And if he would have played for UW, I wouldn't have had a problem with any of it. But he went and played for Missouri, and I do. So I'm a hypocrite, but I'm okay with that.
Okay,
he wears scented face lotion anyway. I don't want that kind of guy on my basketball team.
Yeah, he wear them blackhead strips up under his eyes.
Yeah, when he's playing basketball. Exactly.
Yeah.
We don't need anybody like that. Smokey Joe Patrick going to join us coming up in 20 minutes. He doesn't wear scented lotion. He probably doesn't even wear lotion at all. And then we'll get to the AMA at 1:40. Any question, any topic about lotion? About college basketball, anything you want. It doesn't matter. It's up to
lotion
you.
We'll open up the phone lines.
Yeah, exactly. He wears lotion and still ashy. Let's get to what's trending.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for what's trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Part of playing good defense is the communication. It's player to player. It's on the field. But having the disguises also help. Certainly when you're, playing a quarterback such as Russell, who's got good man and zone indicators. Okay, if it's one or the other, this is where I'm going to go. So having the communication to know when to show the look and when not to, that's an important thing. And so give them credit, certainly for Seattle on a team that it really had come in with a heavy emphasis on the run. For them to throw the ball, as effectively they did, that was a real factor in this game for sure.
Yeah, that's Dan Quinn from yesterday. Dan Quinn will be on this radio station in just a couple hours from right now, on with Dukes and Bell right at 3:10 for his weekly visit. And I'm sure they'll ask him about that as well, about the secondary, about whether or not they were expecting Seattle to throw the ball as much as they did. And you kind of picked up on this earlier, Randy, and I think you're right. Based on what you hear there from Dan Quinn, it sounded like they were banking on Seattle running the football a lot more. They had been a run-heavy offense for the last couple of years. They may still be a run-heavy offense this year, but they certainly weren't on Sunday because they saw something they liked in the passing game, and I think it was their game plan to throw the ball because they came out and threw it 5 out of the first 6 plays that they ran. Yeah. But I think that's also dictated by the Falcons. Like I think they saw something that they liked in the Falcons' defense and said, we'll probably have more success throwing the football, putting it in Russell Wilson's hands, then we will run it around on these guys. And I don't know, maybe that's because the Falcons' run defense is really good, or maybe it's because the secondary kind of isn't.
Well, the thing with Dan was talking about when you look at talking about the disguising part of it, because Russ, we've been talking about it the last couple of days, Russ just looked comfortable because Russ always knew what they were in. Russ knew that when they were in man. Russ knew when they were in quarters or three or shell, whatever. He knew what they were in. So trying to confuse him didn't work. And I know he said they should have. I'm sure they're going to try and do more of it. But, yeah, when you give a quarterback like Russ the opportunity to know where he's going with the damn ball before he even takes a snap, it's a problem. Like, he knew all along what was going to happen on that fourth down as far as, the touchdown to DK Metcalf. All he knew is this. Just beat him, and I'll throw the ball up there. And what did he do? Mm-hmm. He just beat him. That's the thing about it. He knew before he knew. So you got to figure out a way to change up those looks. And, you're so young back there, so you don't want to put them in a compromising situation, Andy, where they can't get back to where they're supposed to be and do the original assignment that the play calls for. So that's the thing that you got to deal with when you're dealing with young corners. Now, when you have a veteran safety, or not veteran safety, safety that played a lot more ball than these guys, you might be able to get away with that. But those guys on the outside, they're still young players, man. They are. But the thing with Isaiah was, I think last year, Isaiah, his problem was he was getting confused in zone and man coverages, meaning he was going into the wrong zone and zone coverage. That's what you saw a lot of him giving up a lot of big plays because he was getting confused. Now, as they went to last year, they simplified it for him more and they let him play man. He even said that on our show. Mm-hmm. They let him play man. And then, so they're allowing you to get your hands on a guy, so you got to get your hands on. But when the covers they were in on that fourth down, if he misses, Andy, he's beat. That's a touchdown, and exactly what happened.
Yeah, and I just wonder because you talk about throwing disguises out there, and it might be able to confuse a younger quarterback. They know damn well Russell Wilson's not a younger quarterback. You're not going to be able to throw that much stuff at him that he's not going to be able to at least get an idea of what you're doing pre-snap, whether it's where the safeties are, whether they send somebody in motion and he follows them, whatever the little indicators they want to throw at you offensively to try to figure out what you're going to do. I just feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, like the Falcons are playing a lot of veteran quarterbacks this year. A lot of time when you're a veteran quarterback, you're at least going to have an idea what the defense is doing on the play. Yeah. You can't confuse them on every play. You just have to beat them. You just have to know your assignment and beat the player that you're going against. And right. like, I don't know that it was that Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf knew what the play was. It was that DK Metcalf executed his route the right way, and Isaiah Oliver got beat, and that happened over and over again on Sunday.
No, well, that's I mean, it's easier to say that when you're like when you're on the field, if you do your damn job and study, you're like, okay, I know what they're about to do. Look at that safety cheating over. Oh, he's gone. I got a 1-on-1 by myself. He has no help. There's no way that KZ can get over top that fast. So all I got to do is beat him. And the great thing that DK did was when he beat him, he didn't keep drifting inside, so KZ could make the play. He stayed away from KZ, and Russ put a perfect ball there. But, yeah, so, I mean, that's how it is sometimes when you're a quarterback. Like, you sit there. It's amazing when you watch a great quarterback work as far as picking up blitzes and knowing what stuff is coming. Never seen anybody do it like Phillip Rivers. I mean, Phillip will call out the blitz before in the game. He's calling it out. Now, eventually they would get there because they were just better. But, yeah, I mean, when you get that kind of feel for a game like Russell Wilson has for it, it's just all a point of if you're an offensive lineman or if you're an offensive coordinator, let's just give him enough time. Because one thing Russ can do, and it comes back and bites them because he gets sacked, Russ can buy time. Mm-hmm. Right? You remember the one time he was all the way to the right-hand side and threw the ball all the way back across the field.
Oh, yeah.
Because he made time for the receiver to clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's absolutely. What he does. No, he does. There's no doubt about it. There was other times when he dropped back three steps and threw the ball and was right on time. There was a lot of different ways that they completed passes on Sunday. They made 31 of them in 35 attempts. Maybe it was just that guy who's really good. I mean, Dak Prescott's pretty good, too. Not as good as Russell Wilson, but he's pretty good, too.
He's all right.
So, I mean, Aaron Rodgers coming up in a couple weeks, he's pretty good, too. Patrick Mahomes on the schedule and Tom Brady's pretty good, and Drew Brees, like Teddy Bridgewater looked okay over the, you know what I mean? Like, it's not a great excuse to me that, well, Russell Wilson, you know, he's an MVP. It's tough. It's gonna be hard to, you know, that guy's just going to get you sometimes. I don't know that that's what it was. Maybe that's what it was, or at least it was a part of it. I don't know that that was all of it. We'll find out. We're going to get to see the secondary go back out there this weekend against another pretty good quarterback, against another talented group of wide receivers. And hopefully they play better. Hopefully at least they get a little tighter coverage and make it a little bit more uncomfortable to complete those passes. Because that's the thing, and you said it, Russell Wilson stays comfortable. They didn't get them off rhythm at all. DJ Shockley brought this up earlier in the show, and he's right. Like, the Falcons wanted to run the ball. You saw them try to run the ball early. They gave it to Todd Gurley the first three plays of the game, and it didn't work. Their idea was to try to use Todd Gurley, whether to balance it or just to run the ball, because they thought they could run the ball on that defense, and they couldn't. The Seahawks wanted to throw the ball. They threw the ball five out of the first six plays of the game, and they threw the ball all game long. When you go into a game with an objective and you can't do it like the Falcons couldn't, and you did do it like the Seahawks did, I guess that's how it ends up 38 to whatever, 25.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing with this Dallas team is they can easily blow the doze off the Falcons. They can. If they don't, because I think that the Dallas totality of an offense is better than Seattle's. I'm not saying that Russell is better. I'm just talking about as a collective offense, I think their offense is better than what the Falcons were seeing in Seattle.
Yeah, so, okay. Hopefully they can tighten it up in a week and get back out there on Sunday. Obviously, we got a lot of time to talk about what Dallas brings to the table as the week goes on. Dan Quinn going to be on with Dukes and Bell in 2 hours from right now. Let's hear what Brian Snitker had to say last night about Tukey Toussaint.
I don't know. I don't know why the consistency, the problem with command, you know, commanding the fastball again. You know, even commanding your breaking ball. I mean, it's you know, when you leave it in the middle of the plate and he threw some really good ones. He threw some really good fastballs. The curveball's good. It's a, you know, I don't know. I don't have the answer for it. I don't know.
maybe my favorite Brian Snitker answer of the year. Because he's right. I mean, we're all on the same page with Tukey Toussaint and a lot of these young guys, a lot of these Wangsters. Yeah. And Tukey, by the way, got sent back down to the alternate training site today, back on the Wangster wagon after one bad start, understandably. That's the last time
One bad start?
Well, after this one, after getting called up.
This is the thing about the Wangster. Let me tell you something, man. Let me tell you something about the Wangster wagon up here in Gwinnett. They can keep their pieces. They can keep them up here, man. They can keep their side pieces and all that. Cause you know what they tell them when they finna come back. Go down to the bigs. Hey, I'll be right back. Exactly what they say. No. Don't start talking to nobody else, baby. No, I know. This is what I'm talking about. Yeah, I know. Cobb is far away from here. I know, babe. But you know what? I'll be right back, and I'll be damned if they don't be right back the next day.
You don't even have to throw away your leftovers. Just leave them in the fridge.
You know what I'm saying?
By the time you get back, they're still going to be good.
You can leave the Applebee's out on the counter.
Yeah, it's still going to be good when you get back. Yeah. Tukey was up for 45 minutes and got sent back to Gwinnett.
Yeah, boy, I'll be right back, man. You know, I ain't going to pack no draws. I just wear the same ones I wore to the game. Yeah.
Huascar Ulloa on the mound tonight for the Braves as they take on the Orioles in the second game of the series. Cole Hamels tomorrow, Randy. Man, we're finally there.
Andy, I ain't even excited no more, man. Because Ulloa, what the hell is his name?
Ulloa.
Ulloa.
You know,
I'm sure Ulloa is a fine man. He's just in that wrath of I don't give a damn about this pitching rotation right now. Sure,
well, I mean,
he's a good
ERA
guy.
His ERA is 6.75. I understand why you're not excited to watch him play.
Yeah, question and answer right now.
Yeah, we got more questions for Joe Patrick. He covers the Braves. Try to figure out if he knows anything about Tukey Toussaint. Braves have 12 games left before the playoffs get here. We'll talk to Joe coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
In one quarter, we've got 92.9 The Game's midday hosts, Andy and Randy, at a combined 12 feet, 3 inches, and just under 400 pounds, to the best of our knowledge. And in the other quarter, 92.9 The Game's reporter, Smokin' Joe Patrick, at an undisclosed height and weight, because he likes to cause trouble.
You know what else happens on Twitter and Instagram that's fun, too? And I bet Joe has had this happen to him before. When someone gets mad at you for the way you cover a team or something you tweeted or whatever, and they declare, like they make the declarative tweet that they're unfollowing you, like just to let you know, it's over between us. I am unfollowing you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no doubt. Between that one and, oh, I've lost all respect for you. Oh. You really think I give a damn about your respect? Like, real? I've lost all respect for you. So what? You the dumbass that follows me. I don't follow you.
Trust me. Exactly. No, you shouldn't have followed me in the first place. Yeah. All it was going to be was
oh, my God. Oh, my God. Joe in the milk truck unfollowed me. How will I ever live, Andy?
Did they let you do that? It's like a press release when they're unfollowing you. Yeah. I will be unfollowing you henceforth. All right.
I will not be watching professional sports.
Okay. Cool. So? What are you going to do on Sundays? They do that to you, right, Joe? They let you know when they unfollow?
Some do. Some with not enough going on in their lives do that. They definitely say, I am using the functionality of this website. So good for them. You know, they should be definitely doing that.
Bummer, the free Twitter account you follow on the free Twitter app is not exactly what you want it to be every single time. That must be tough. Is last night the last time we're going to see Tukey Toussaint this year?
Probably. I would think so. It's. I got to say, you know, just talking about Tukey, it's crushing to watch him go out there and do something like he did last night. I think because we've seen him be so good for this team, too. You know, we talk about a lot of these young pitchers that the Braves have. We've been talking about them all season, the Kyle Wrights, the Tukey Toussaints, the Bryce Wilsons, all these guys. And I think that Tukey Toussaint has had the highest highs of any of those guys.
I agree.
When we've seen him be like a strikeout artist through six plus innings, a few starts ago, and things seemed like they were going really well. But it was really interesting after he had that start, which was definitely his best start of the season. And in the post game media, he didn't sound exactly confident in the reasons why he was able to go out and dominate that day the way he did. He just didn't seem like he had a great grasp over exactly kind of who he is as a pitcher, or at least he wasn't able to explain it in words. And sometimes that's fair enough. You know, pitchers aren't always able to do that. As opposed to a guy like Kyle Wright, who's obviously had his struggles this season, but he just seems like when he goes into a post-game press conference, he's more cognizant of where things went wrong, where he needs to improve, where he knows he needs to improve. And I think we're starting to see Kyle Wright starting to put some of those building blocks together. Brian Snicker identified him as a guy that I think the Braves are going to roll with as a regular part of their rotation. He's going to basically make regular starts throughout the rest of the season. And, yeah, it's just tough to see Tukey kind of, you know, you never know when he could go out there and have a great start like he did, or, you know, do what he did last night, which was just give you a kind of a totally unproductive start, and you just kind of try to get out of there without using as many bullpen arms as, or only as many bullpen arms as you think you need.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So he's close. Right. Yeah.
He is close. He pitched good last time.
Yeah. Joe, how long are we going to have to deal with the fact that the guy who came in after Tookie continuously looking like the same way he does? I mean, and I'm so serious, Joe. What is it about that dude that can't nobody else do what he – I mean, can anybody else not – can? Damn it, Joe. How long will he going to be pitching, Joe?
So we're talking about Luke Jackson, and I know that Luke Jackson has a special place, maybe not in your heart, you guys on this show. I was always much more of a Luke Jackson defender last year. I thought he pitched really well and just kind of got a lot of bad luck. This year has not been the case. This year has definitely been a different Luke Jackson. And to me, it looks like a Luke Jackson that has lost complete confidence. I thought last year he looked like a guy who had some confidence. Sometimes he'd get hit around, but he generally was being aggressive and just looked like a confident pitcher out there. And there was a moment in the game last night where he was in the thick of it, giving up hits. You know, it was just, he was major struggle bus going on.
Doing what he
kind of like, looked up in the sky, and maybe it was something innocuous, but to me it just looked like I need to get off of this mound. It looked like a kind of like a helpless moment for him, and you know, I don't think that he's going to be a guy that, you know, whenever rosters will need to be cut eventually, you know, he's going to be one of the first names that kind of, you know, gets that note, because it just hasn't been good enough from him. And the Braves have been pretty ruthless with some of these guys this season. And just like, if you're not putting up the performances, then they're not going to keep you around. And Brian Snicker was lamenting the other day, saying, you know, actually giving his bullpen a lot of credit for what they've done this season, saying that, you know, it's going to be a tough decision for whenever they have to actually trim these rosters down, because they have like 11 bullpen arms that are pitching really well from them. They're going to have to trim those down at some point. So, you know, I don't foresee Luke Jackson kind of being on this team long term, just because he has not been able to build off of the glimpses of what we saw last season. And again, I know you guys weren't as high on him last season as I was, but to me, I thought that last season was his best year as a professional, and he had an opportunity to really build on that this year, and he just hasn't done it.
That's the best thing I've heard all day. That's the most definitive answer I've heard on anything we've talked about all day, because Brian Snicker doesn't know about Tookie Toussaint, and I don't think anybody does. Like you said, Joe, Tookie doesn't even seem to know. Dan Quinn's talking about this and that, when what went wrong with his defense. That was a clear, definitive answer that Luke Jackson will likely not be on the playoff roster, and I think that that's right. I'm going to get to Cole Hamels in a minute, but what was this Pablo Sandoval signing about yesterday? What are you bringing Pablo Sandoval in for?
I kind of chuckled when I saw that news come across, because it's not like the Braves really need him right now, but it does just feel like a very Alex Anthopoulos thing to do, which is to like take a flyer on one of these guys. And it seems like they come off more often than not for the Braves, where some of these guys come over, and even like what we were seeing glimpses of Felix Hernandez, you know, the guy who come on hard times, but he was looking good in spring training before obviously everything happened where he left the team. But, you know, you never know. He's going to be, you know, he's a left-handed bat. He can kind of give you some options. Maybe he comes to the Gwinnett site and starts raking, and you think that he can be a pinch hitter, a bench bat, something like that. That's kind of the situation you're looking at with Sandoval. I don't think he's going to play a crucial role on this team, but you know, you never know if injuries happen. It's just an option that the team can go to. I don't really think there's expecting anything out of him, and it's the perfect low risk, you know, moderate reward scenario. I don't think he's going to come in and be some big hitter for the Braves, but I think that with the DH, you actually do have some more flexibility to use pinch hitters and things like that, so you never know. It's just kind of a flyer, and they'll see. Pablo Sandoval will determine how far he goes with the Braves.
Hey, Joe, you said earlier that Kyle Wright, he will probably be a part of the rotation. Cole Hamels is supposed to be back tomorrow, and we don't have enough time. I'll just go ahead and get that out for Andy. What are the expectations for him?
Yeah. Hamels, I think they just want to get him pitches, essentially. They just want to get him built up. I don't think that the results are even going to be super important for this team, unless he's just getting absolutely clobbered. That would be one thing. But I really just think they want to see him build himself up as much as he can, because basically Brian Snicker outlined last night saying that the rotation is going to be Max Fried, Ian Anderson, Cole Hamels, and Kyle Wright for the rest of the season. If they need to go to a fifth pitcher, they will probably use Yanoa like they're going to do tonight, or they can just do a bullpen game, something like that. But for a postseason rotation, you're probably looking at, you know, some combination of those four guys as well. I know that that will scare some people, thinking knowing that Kyle Wright is part of that group, but that's the situation the Braves are in right now. So that's what they're going to roll with.
I mean, at least they're starters, right? Yeah. I mean, that's better than what it was a couple weeks ago. They got starters starting, so that's good. Not tonight. Tonight it's Huascar and Noah, and but then tomorrow it's Cole Hamels. Joe, thank you. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Great stuff. We'll talk Thursday.
Thanks, guys.
Joe Patrick there, smoking Joe Patrick. Follow him on Twitter at JAPatrick200. We'll come back and get to an AMA. We need AMA questions desperately, either on Twitter, Instagram, DMs, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Give us a call, 404-741-0929. If you want to ask a question by calling in and asking on the air, you can do that. We'll answer your questions coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're queuing up your questions with the Middays AMA.
Ask me anything.
Glad you asked.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Brought to you by Right From The Heart and RightFromTheHeart.org, the AMA Ask Me Anything segment to wrap the show up every single day on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Any question, any topic. Phone lines are open, 404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, same number. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, any way you want to ask a question. I got one here from Brandon, who retweeted something from Red Lobster.
Okay.
Apparently Red Lobster has a new drink out called, let me make sure I get this thing right, the Red Lobster Dewgarita. It's a margarita made with Mountain Dew.
Oh, and yeah, I saw that.
Brandon wants to know who's going to try it first. You going to drink a Mountain Dew margarita?
Oh, hell no, I ain't drinking that crap.
Wendy?
I mean, I'll try it.
All right, Wendy will do it. Brian, you going to? I'm not doing that. I'm not doing Mountain Dew. Huh, Brian, that
Sounds terrible.
Because a margarita, awful. That means tequila, right? So you're doing tequila and Mountain Dew?
Have you guys
You're going to get into a fight. You're definitely getting into a fight after you drink that.
That sounds awful.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. It looks awful. Here's their tweet. It's big, it's green, and it tastes even more incredible than it looks. Introducing the new Dewgarita Mountain Dew. Get yours today. Yeah. Now, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to. Now, let's be honest, though, Randy. You're at Red Lobster. And the freaks go crazy for a cheddar biscuit.
Hell yeah.
Imagine you get a couple Dewgaritas in there. I mean, that's...
Man, some Dewgaritas and cheddar biscuits? Man, please, you might bring a friend.
See? So there's at least one benefit to it. But no, I'm not drinking that. I mean, that sounds like you're talking about the alcohol hangover and all the sugar. You're going to have a headache. I mean, it's just, you're asking for trouble if you're drinking that.
But that's just when you wake up, Andy.
Yeah, I know. That's when you wake up, you feel awful.
Oh, I'll be all right.
And then you just, like, what, you wake it up, you deal with it, you dull it somehow. What do we have here? Would you rather have a Jay Novacek or a Jason Witten jersey? Randy, that's for you.
Oh, neither?
Yeah, neither. I don't want either one of those jerseys. I want
I got a chance to meet Jay. But, yeah, I mean, I love watching Jay Novacek. Like, his tape, oh, man, unbelievable. Slow, unathletic, but was always damn open. Not like Witt.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Dallas Cowboys jerseys. I understand this is one of our listeners who's talking trash this week because the Cowboys and the Falcons play this weekend.
Oh, yeah, good. Yeah. I love. He's funny, too. Talk about some
he is funny.
We. Talk about some we. You play for the Cowboys? We. Here's one. I got this right here.
Okay.
I wanted to get this. As when is Arthur Blank going to be held accountable for his bad coaching? Who the hell going to hold Arthur Blank accountable? He's the owner.
I don't know what that means, accountable. I mean,
yeah, nobody.
I mean, he holds himself accountable when he moves on from people. I mean, Arthur Blank has fired every coach he's ever hired. I mean, let's be honest about it. Except Tata Martino, who left because he got a better job, and I think everyone was cool with that. And Frank DeBoer, they mutually parted ways. But all the other football coaches Arthur Blank's hired, been fired, or I guess
up out of here.
Bobby Petrino quit in the middle of the season and left a note in everyone's locker. But yeah, that's the reality of being a head coach in the NFL. You're probably going to get fired. Most guys don't get to go out on their own terms. Even if you're a great coach that wins a lot of football games, eventually you get fired. I'm not there right now. Like, we talked about it midway through the year last year. I thought Dan Quinn and the coaching staff was going to be moved on from because of the way that the season started last year.
Right.
I thought they were going to get moved on from when the season was over because I didn't think 6-2 in the second half of a season made a difference. I don't think it mattered. You weren't going to the playoffs. We were wrong about that. Obviously, the heat is turned up when something like that happens and you start the way they did on Sunday against the Seahawks. People are going to be mad about it, but they're not firing these guys anytime soon. And I don't know what the situation would have to be for them to do that, but I'd be surprised if, even if things were a disaster this season, I'd be surprised if they moved on from them in the middle of the year, honestly. I don't know about you guys. I think we're going to see them coach till the end of the year. Now, I hope they win. I hope we don't have to worry about that. You know, that's what we should all want, right? The Falcons actually win football games and we don't have to talk about coaches getting fired. Anyway, who is your favorite female athlete of all time?
Wow. Probably Jackie Joyner. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, Serena.
Or Flo-Jo. I love Flo-Jo because they're males.
It's just athlete in general. Christine Lilly is just one of my favorite athletes ever. U.S. women's soccer team player. She was the one that protected the back post in that 99 final against China. She had the header that kept it out of the goal. Cynthia Cooper. I loved Cynthia Cooper back in the day when she was in the WNBA.
Coop was pretty good. Coop was great.
Yeah, I Megan Rapinoe. I love Megan Rapinoe for a lot of different
reasons. You got a thing for Megan, don't you?
Yeah, kind of. I know she's not interested in me, but I kind of do. I just like her, too. She stands up for what she believes in. Who wins the first game of this? Who wins the first game from this day on, the Falcons or Atlanta United?
Damn. I don't know, man. I'm gonna go United because United plays Saturday, and the Falcons play Sunday.
So they got a chance; they could both win this weekend.
Yes, they both could win. I'm gonna go with United because they play on Saturday.
When will the Falcons have a game where they outdo the Braves' highest scoring game of the season? The Braves had 29. When are the Falcons gonna score 30?
I don't know. That's a good point. They have the ability and the talent to do so.
I hope they do. Hopefully this weekend is the weekend that they do it. All right, Brian, you got any good ones over there?
Yeah, week 5 versus the Panthers is the answer to that Falcons question, by the way.
That's when they're going to win a game? Or that's when they're going to score 30-plus points?
That's when they're going to score over 30, yeah.
Okay. God, I hope they win before that, damn.
No, they'll get a win in before that, but that's when the offense will really take off, hopefully.
Okay.
What celebrity or band has the worst fan base?
What celebrity or fans?
What celebrity or band has the worst fan base?
Oh, band. Oh, I don't go to places that got bad. Like, I ain't never in my life met a bad Frankie Beverly and Maze fan. Ever.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of...
How the hell can you?
How could you be a bad person if that's a band?
How the hell can
you
be a bad Frankie Beverly and Maze fan?
I don't know. I think over-the-top Beyonce defenders are annoying. Like, I like Beyonce a lot, too,
folks,
but, like, yeah, the Beehive...
Folks. Them
the Beehive is
problems.
Aggressive. They're very aggressive. It's too much.
Dude, because I forgot where we were at. Me and Donna were somewhere, and they play. I thought they were playing the Frankie Beverly. You make me happy. I'm like, yeah. And then Beyonce came. I'm like, what the hell is this? And this little heifer, going to turn around. It's Beyonce's song. I was like, no, the hell it ain't. It's Frankie Beverly and Maze, little girl. Who are they? Man, I had to walk away. They really think that
move.
They think Beyonce made that damn song. No. Come on, it's Beyonce's new song. The hell you talking to? No, it ain't.
Who else has terrible? No, Wendy said
she
the
ran
Dave
me
Matthews
hot.
Band.
She
Dave
ran
Matthews
me hot
band
with that.
Has some very dedicated, very annoying fans. There's
annoying.
No doubt
she ran
about
me hot
that.
With that.
Annoying.
Fish. I think Fish fans are kind of annoying because they want to be like the new Deadheads or whatever. There's no such thing as new Deadheads. There was Deadheads, and then Jerry Garcia died. I know they still tour and all that, but there's no new Deadheads, all right? Also, you know, songs don't need to be 45 minutes long. I like the Allman Brothers and stuff, but
doing
we don't
this
need
the
songs
whole time.
That are that
hey,
long.
Hey, what they do the whole time? Yeah, let me tell you what.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. Hey, yeah. By the way, on Freddie Freeman's son's team, Nathan checks in and says he watched, this is the world we live in, he watched Freddie Freeman's wife's Instagram story. And Dan Uggla and Ryan Howard have kids on that team, too.
Cool.
That lineup's loaded. That's a damn good T-ball team. Can you get lines on T-ball games? I'm betting on that team right there. Although Dan Uggla's kid might strike out if he's anything like his dad. Anyway, that's not
really
nice to say. You want to get takeaways of the day?
Eyes wide open.
Oh, that's creepy. That's bad.
What I'm saying, that's how they be singing nowadays.
So many achievements
on Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, time for takeaways of the day. I feel bad. Dan Uggla's kid's going to do just fine. That's not nice. He's probably 5 years old. I'm talking bad about him on the radio.
Talking bad about folks cheering.
Wendy, what did you learn today? What's your takeaway?
Well, Andy doesn't get on roller coasters because he doesn't like them, but Randy doesn't get on them because he can't dang fit.
Yeah, right, man. They just be hurting me, man. My takeaway of the day came from Wendy. There's two things. There's one, Wendy told me that to be named Duncan, you got to be cool. And if there's nobody in this world that is enjoying their maternity leave, Andy's wife, Ashley, and I'm not going to throw her personal Instagram out there. She is just so funny. Every picture she takes with a little caption. If that woman right there ain't enjoying maternity leave, I mean,
yeah,
she ain't going back, Andy.
I mean, if she didn't, she would love not to.
Yeah.
I wish that was possible. She's the one that makes money. She has to go back. Otherwise, we're screwed. I learned today that Travis Scott's rap name is Travis Scott because Kid Cudi's first name is Scott, and he wanted to pay homage to Kid Cudi, who's one of his favorite rappers. I learned
that.
When
the hell did you come up with that?
Somebody DM'd me that.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Good things can happen. I also learned, stay out of my DMs at 4 o'clock in the morning. Got a really weird DM from a listener. Don't DM me at 4 o'clock in the morning. Do something else, all right?
Hey, I'm thinking about you.
No, leave me alone. I don't care what you're up for. Leave me alone. Don't do that. Brian?
Also, Travis is apparently named after his uncle. So Travis is from an uncle. Scott's from Kid Cudi. That's how you come up with Travis Scott.
There you go.
A couple other ones here. Pork Chop Randy, Happy Meal, Apple Slice Andy, and Jalapeno Noir Wendy are the names of the people I work with now. Jimmy Tube Socks and Instagram Dennis is a tag team you don't want to mess with because they both enjoy chicken nuggets and mac and cheese with ketchup. And Dougaritas and Cheddar Biscuits can make some things happen.
That's right, man. Yeah, I feel good about today. We covered a lot of ground. We'll see what we can do tomorrow. Everybody enjoy your Tuesday afternoon. Dan Quinn on with Dukes and Bell at 3:10. We'll be back tomorrow. Bye.
Watch out now.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.